Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
I imagine you're enjoying your weekends a lot more now that you're a 9 to 5, 5 days a week kind of a guy.
Yeah, absolutely. My weekends have turned from 2 days to feels like spring break every weekend. So once Friday comes, I try to get as much done as I can and do all some fun stuff and do whatever. But yeah, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday have become a lot more important in terms of time management, I guess. And once that weekend comes, it's kind of more things that I try to do than before. So that's kind of how it is.
Yeah. Well, have you done anything fun this weekend?
This weekend, not really. I mean, lately I've just kind of been hanging out. Usually by the end of the week, I'm pretty tired. Usually those long work weeks, but actually went to the beach yesterday, which I haven't been allowed. It was a beautiful day in Newport Beach. And then just hung out with some friends here and there. So,
yeah, it was pretty.
Nothing too much.
It was pretty great here, too. I got out to South Bay. There's some trails out there between Los Osos and Morro Bay. Out and did a little mountain biking, and it was
there you go.
It's perfect. It's 69, 70 degrees, and just
November. Only place is SoCal, and in November, SoCal and the Central Coast.
Yep, you got it.
You can get that weather, so we're a little spoiled over here.
Yeah, for sure. Having grown up, I lived in other places, and I always just knew I wanted to come back here, and the lack of seasons was a big reason why. Speaking of seasons, the Cal Poly basketball season started up this year, and for the first time in I think 3 years, you weren't with them because you're graduated. Did you watch the game on TV? What were your feelings as you were watching it? Was it weird? What went through your head as you were watching Cal Poly take on Arizona on Thursday night or Friday night?
Friday night. I watched it at my house on the Pac-12 Network, and it was really kind of an eerie feeling just seeing the guys on TV and just seeing them come out, and you're used to doing that. You're used to being there right next to them, and the fact that you're on the other side of the TV, it's kind of a eerie feeling. But I watched the game with some of my friends. A lot of my friends went to University of Arizona, so it was fun to watch it with them. But it was interesting, and it was fun. It was weird. It's a lot of mixed emotions, I guess, after being with them for a few years,
right?
And now seeing them on the other side, of the setting.
What did you think of the black road uniforms?
I love them. I mean, I've been asking. You can ask Mitch Reeves. I've been asking for them for years, but they just never got, I guess, approved or whatever it was. But I like the black alternative jerseys. I think they're really sharp. The shoes are a little interesting with the neon, but I think any ways that you can kind of branch out and keep expanding and keep developing a program, whether it's with the equipment, facilities, I think it's just another way to help recruiting and all that stuff. But no, I love the black jerseys. I've actually tried to ask if Reeves can give me a set myself, even though I'm already gone. But I think they're really cool.
Yeah, it seems I don't know how much Cal Poly jerseys get sold, but that's a jersey that I've talked to a few friends of mine who are, in their early 30s, and maybe, they're guys who maybe haven't bought a jersey in a while because they're getting up there, but they're I'd buy a black Cal Poly basketball jersey. Absolutely.
They're sharp.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, for sure. Talking with Chris O'Brien. Chris, of course, graduated from Cal Poly after last year with a major in
business marketing.
There you go. And he's amongst those of us who are in the workforce now, so enjoying every minute of that. What was your what were a few impressions from the Arizona game that you took away about the Cal Poly team this year?
The first half they shot really well. That was surprising. I know that they have Kyle Otister who shot very well that game. But a couple other guys stepped up, and they were making shots, and they were grinding them on defense, and they just kept it at a pace that I know Coach Claret likes playing at. And, David Nwaba was able to get to the basket. He was able to pick his spots and be aggressive when he could. I think the second half, with credit to Arizona, it just kind of warmed down with their size and athleticism. Just wasn't getting enough paint touches. The ball kind of wasn't moving as much. But, you know, the first half really surprised me. And cause, I mean, there was a lot of question marks for me. A lot of these guys are new. So as much experience as I had playing with, you know, guys like Jamal, Chris Eversley, Kyle Otister, guys like Michael Bolden, Dave Nwaba, all those guys, I mean, they're kind of new pieces to the puzzle. And I think as the season goes along, they're going to gel together. And coach always finds a way to bring guys together. And I think once they do and they're all clicking, they're going to be very good.
I think it was really exciting. I don't know how much experience you've had with Bolden he's from Irvine Valley College, I know, and right by where you're from. Your dad probably knows about him as much as you do, maybe playing against him down there. But when we're talking about David Waba, it seems like he's really the most athletic player, maybe the highest jumper, the most explosive player along the way since, I don't know, maybe Sean Lewis. I mean, you're talking about guys who can really are on that kind of high major FBS level, you know, BCS level, you know, athleticism. And I think Cal Poly is really fortunate to have a guy like that. You also saw where, you know, he scored 12 in the first half and then 0 in the second half. So there's, like you said, there's still a little bit of adjustment to do, but, you know, you have a little bit of excitement there, maybe that has been building over the past few years and you're able to get guys like that. What did you think about, the play of Malik Love? I think he's going to be a big factor this year, even though he didn't start in this game this week. I think he's really going to be somebody who can give really good minutes either next to or along with Jamal Johnson at point guard. And he's kind of a physical specimen that maybe people forgot about last year.
Absolutely. I mean, coming back from an injury, I can say for myself, you know, I've been through the worst with the ACL, but you know, it takes a while to get kind of back into your groove. And some people say, no, I'm fine. I'm jumped right in. But, I mean, either way, I mean, it's going to take some time. But he was aggressive. Last night he picked his spots. He's very savvy enough that he doesn't really try to force anything. He doesn't force the issue. He is not a guy who needs to get a shot up. He's not a guy who needs to, you know, do what he's got to do for himself. He picks his spots, lets the game come to himself. And I think that's a bonus. And people forget, like, he was freshman of the year 2 years ago, and with some couple injuries here and there and whatever. But I've been keeping close touch with him over the past month, obviously, with going through an injury and dealing with kind of the effects of that. But, he's fired up. He's motivated more than ever. And I think once he gets his rhythm going, I think sky's the limit for him in terms of being able to score, play defense. He's very big utility guy. And I think he can do multiple things on the court that maybe don't show up on the stat sheet. He can, you know, bring the ball up. He can score on the post. He can play defense. He can rebound. I mean, there's tons of things that you get with Malik. So I think just within the next couple games, look for him to be, you know, taking a couple big strides. And really, really having a good year.
Yeah, one thing that I really am going to enjoy, I think, this year about this team, and you're going to have it in the Big West, is the ability to play all kinds of different lineups. And you saw, I think, 10 guys play on Friday night, maybe 11, I'm not sure. But you have, you know, the opportunity where you could, if you needed to, play like a three-point shooting, run-around, you know, pressing kind of lineup. I know they pressed Arizona a few times and even created a turnover or two on that Waba dunk. They got it. But, I mean, you could play like a small lineup where Waba's playing three and like Eversley's playing five or, you know, Awich is playing five and, you know, or whatever. I mean, you could have Eversley and Awich on the floor at the same time if the other team's not that big. You could also play like this really kind of stronger lineup where Malik's at the point guard and Waba could play two and, you know, somebody like Bolden maybe at three, who's really long, and then maybe like Eversley and Bennett. So you have all these kind of options, I guess, when you have that many guys who can play. And I think it'll be interesting to see in the preseason before conference starts, who kind of gets out there and gets into Cal Poly's, I guess, 7 or 8 man rotation, because you'll have a few of those guys left out. I mean, a guy like Ridge Shipley, who got a little bit of playing time as a freshman on Friday. You know, guys who are on, I guess, on the fringe. I mean, you had last year the same thing where, you know, Kyle Otister barely played in a few games. I know he was hurt, and they needed him kind of off and on because Reese was hurt off and on as well. But, you know, you really do have that ability to mix and match and even weather some injuries that are natural in the course of a season that you know a lot about. The injuries are, speaking of injuries, Chris, how are you feeling physically this year?
I'm feeling actually very good. I still don't have any knee pain. I've been staying in shape the best I can once I stop playing after season. But in terms of knee pain, I mean, the only thing that reminds me that I have, you know, had an injury was that little scar on my knee. So everything is fine for me. I mean, I feel great. I've turned into to one of the biggest fans, so that transition's a little different. I guess that's harder than the whole knee thing. But in terms of my health, I mean, I haven't felt any better. So,
well, you're somebody who had a back, a knee, right? Other kind of nagging things going on.
Yeah, once, I mean, it's hard with injuries. Once you kind of have a severe injury like your knee, say with an ACL, a lot of things kind of follow it. As much as you don't want it to, with your knee, you kind of lose your balance, you favor one leg, then all of a sudden your back has to compensate, then all of a sudden your shoulder has to compensate, and then it kind of, it's like a chain reaction.
Sure.
And it's unfortunate. I mean, you can only do so much to prevent it, but at the end of the day, you just got to kind of get through it, and hopefully nothing gets worse. But in these past months, I've been feeling very good.
You've been talking a lot about being kind of into health and fitness. Is that like a new hobby for you?
It is. You know, I try to find a way to keep myself challenged. You know, once basketball finished, I knew that there wasn't going to be many more opportunities for, you know, competitive action, competition, whatever it is. So every single day I try to challenge myself, and whether it's with fitness, nutrition, just lifestyles. Something that keeps me engaged every single day, whether it's watching what I eat, working out at the gym, helping my friends out with some of their stuff. It's kind of, I guess, grown on me as a hobby. I wouldn't say it's complete 100% passion of myself, but on the side, it's something that kind of, you know, grabs my attention, keeps me engaged, and keeps me, I guess, competitive every single day.
Yeah, it sounds like you're doing like some kind of personal type events, or like you're doing some running you've been talking about, or triathlon stuff. Are either of those things, like running a marathon or doing a triathlon, or those things that are like in your sights?
Right, those are all things that I could never do as a basketball player. When you're playing at the Division I level, NCAA, I mean, it's basketball year round, so you don't get time to go train for a marathon. You don't get time to do say something like CrossFit, all kinds of other things that maybe you wish you want to try. But since basketball is finished, you know, a lot of times I've come across maybe doing a half marathon, something I couldn't do before, and stuff like that kind of gained my attention. I haven't done anything yet, but I'm still kind of weaning my way into it and kind of looking into it. And maybe a marathon, maybe some kind of CrossFit competition down the road. But for now, I just kind of stick with going to the gym, pushing myself, kind of just staying engaged, staying in shape, of course, and just kind of set new goals that were outside of basketball before.
Yeah, you mentioned CrossFit a few times. It's sweeping the nation. Do you have a box that you go to? Is that where you go to work out?
I've never done it before.
Oh, okay.
I've done similar things like Olympic lifting and all that stuff through basketball, but I have a buddy who goes all the time, and he loves it, and he's been meaning to take me. but I have not been yet, but I've heard a lot of good things. It's a great workout and all that stuff, so eventually I'll give it a try, and then if I really like it, then obviously I'll keep going back to it, but I haven't got into that yet.
All my friends who do CrossFit, it's all I freaking hear about. All day long. It's like, oh, today this was my, you know, and it, I mean, I guess it's great marketing. As somebody who's a marketing major, like, they do amazing social marketing, and like, you know, it's really a community that way, and props to, you know, that organization for doing that. But,
absolutely.
You know, everybody, it's like, if you have a friend who does CrossFit, you know everything about, you think you know everything about CrossFit, even though
it's part of your daily routine,
just listening to somebody talk about it, or watching Facebook posts.
So absolutely.
As far as like working out, it's a different kind of, competition because you're kind of playing against yourself, so to speak. It's not really like the competitive, you know, going up against somebody else.
Right.
Talk about the different, I guess the different types of competitive attitudes like you have to have for something like, just the general health and fitness versus, you know, the grind of competing against another person on a daily basis or a sport like basketball where you're, you know, you have your teammates where you don't feel like, you know, doing something one day, but it's a, there's like, I guess, social pressure among other things that, you know, you just don't really have a choice, but to go and do the workout or go, you know, go to practice because, you know, the exercise part is all kind of part and parcel to that versus the exercise part being the goal itself. How is that kind of mindset a little bit different?
Well, you know, I mean, I've played basketball my whole life. I've been playing because, you know, other teams, other players, and that's kind of kept me engaged competitive-wise. So I've always had a knack for that. But as soon as basketball ended, I kind of had to sit down and ask myself, how am I going to stay competitive? How am I going to challenge myself every single day to make me the best I can? Because basketball has done that for me. But now basketball's over. And I think the biggest difference is just, you know, with basketball, the grind every day of doing scouting report, doing weights, doing practice, all that preparation for the game. You know, obviously I don't do that anymore because I don't play in games, but every single day, whether it's at work, whether it's at home, whether it's with friends, I guess it's just a habit of trying to find some kind of way to challenge myself, whether it's through fitness goals, whether it's through doing something, you know, something at work, whether it's calling a few of my friends I haven't spoken to in years. I mean, something like that every single day. It's not a mandatory thing where I have to be like, oh, I didn't do this today, so what's going to happen? It's more like, here's the big picture, you know, try to get these things done, try to push yourself, try to stay engaged, try to stay active.
Yeah.
Keep in touch with your teammates. Just always kind of be proactive. I guess that's the biggest difference. Whereas basketball, you kind of, every day, it's a grind, and it does wear you down, and that's why it's very tough. That's why there goes so much preparation and everything behind each game, behind each practice that maybe people don't see. But in terms of everyday life, it's more just kind of being proactive, challenging yourself, staying engaged, staying motivated, and just kind of finding different ways to do that.
Do you ever have any inclination or urge to, like, go down somewhere random and just like play a pickup game, or do you do any of that kind of stuff at all?
I've done it a few times. I've probably played a few times since the end of the season, but it's usually with a couple of my friends, the local sports club, sports gym, and play with, you know, just whoever's there. But there's nothing like competing in the NCAA Division I level,
obviously.
I mean, it doesn't come close, and sometimes I kind of pull my hair out just playing with some guys who may not really understand how to play basketball. I guess it's the nicest way to say it. When you're used to playing with guys who've been playing your whole life, and then completely just flipping it and going to guys who play once, maybe every few months.
Who like stand and, like, you know, just offensive.
Yeah,
like,
they just don't really move the right spots. And in your mind, you're like, oh, cut, you know, move, run the floor.
But do something, yeah.
They don't really get it. I mean, it's kind of hard. But at the same time, I enjoy doing it for a workout and just, like I said, trying to challenge myself. And I just try not to lose every game. And even if it's against, you know, average Joe 1, 2, 3, and 4, I still see if I can try to find a way to make my team win. I guess just becomes a habit for me. But other than that, that's kind of the biggest difference.
Yeah, that's definitely like a fun thing whenever you go to like a random pickup game is, you know, who's cutting, who's moving, who's playing defense, who's not playing defense, who's got their head turned around, you know, just getting back on defense. You talk about fitness, you know.
At some point. It turned into a half-court game after a while with those games.
Correct. I'm here with Chris O'Brien, former Cal Poly basketball player, Cal Poly alumni. Chris is actually going to start contributing to fansmanship.com, which is pretty exciting for Luke, Andy, and I, about, you know, whatever. I think with his kind of hobby of health and fitness, with looking at things that are happening in basketball especially, but generally in sports, kind of like what we do, being able to write about things that we're passionate about. And Chris is gonna go ahead and start contributing with us, and we really appreciate it, and we're really excited about it. I actually have one question that actually doesn't have anything to do with basketball, and that is, there's been a lot of talk lately, a lot of just, I don't have cable, Chris. That's like my dirty little secret is that I don't have ESPN or Fox, so I go to, you know, Laguna Grill or Firestone, or I was at Eats by Design the other night because that was the only place that the Cal Poly game was on. So I go out to watch a lot of the games. But I know that on ESPN, I mean, just this, the Richie Incognito, Jonathan Martin, Miami Dolphins scandal has just been kind of all over the place. And I think, you know, there's lots of questions about things like organizational leadership and management and things like that. But as somebody who, like you said, has been playing basketball all your life, probably played on, you know, travel teams in high school, you know, went to two different schools, and was a new guy in two different places, both in San Francisco, right? That's where you started?
Correct.
Yeah.
University of San Francisco.
Up at USF. Random question about USF. When you committed there, was the old Oklahoma coach the coach there? Is Eddie Sutton?
No, he had just left. Okay. Rex Walters came in after
Rex Walters. Yeah. Okay.
Right.
Okay. So so you got recruited by Rex Walters at USF.
Correct.
And then and then you left there and came to Cal Poly. And so as somebody who's been probably on both sides of like carrying the bags as a freshman, and I mean, you know, we all carried bags as freshmen in high school. You know, I think anybody who's my age and who played, you know, football or basketball, you know, at any kind of a level, at, you know, at a high school or something, you know, probably carrying bags, putting basketballs away. I mean, there were little things that, or you know, mopping the floor before practice. You know, there's things that you do when you're a freshman, and then you don't have to do them anymore. And it's, you know, they're kind of part and parcel to the operational running of any kind of a team or whatever. But where's the line between, like, I guess if you want to call that hazing or just like initiation versus some kind of harassment? I mean, you hear stories in the NFL about guys running down a hallway in a dorm situation and in training camp and with a bag over their head and everybody getting to punch them as hard as they can. You know, you talk about, like, I read, like, I think it's Cam Cleland. Is that the guy's name? I don't know. There's been an article about, you know, a tight end who basically, you know, he played for 8 seasons or something, but he can barely see out of one eye now because when he was doing that as a rookie, somebody hit him with a sock full of change or something like that in the side of the head and broke his eye socket, and he wasn't on the injury report. So where's the line between, I guess, the hazing and harassment in your mind?
I mean, it's hard to say with the whole thing in the NFL. I mean, those guys are 30, 35 year old grown men, and their job is to go out there and just, you know, beat each other up. As weird as it sounds, but I mean, that's football. But I think it gets to a point with, like, for me personally, I've never had where hazing or any of that, whatever it's called, initiation, I don't know, has really gone out of line. If anything, it's, like you said, maybe the freshman carrying the bags for the bus or, you know, picking up the balls after practice, stuff like that. But in terms of, you know, really getting down to something that's probably not acceptable, there's got to be some kind of line. And I would say anything that's personal, anything that would affect a man or woman's psychologically, emotionally, like it has, apparently with the player on the Miami Dolphins, which is very unfortunate, because, you know, you think those guys every single day are kind of going out there and, like I said, really, you know, putting their bodies out there and putting everything they got, and for them to come back in the locker room, when you're behind closed doors, usually that's when you're closest with your team, with your family, with a tight-knit group you have, that many fans, many other coaches can't really see. And for things to keep continuing going on, I think that's where you kind of draw the line. That once you're inside the locker room and you're with the guys you go to war with every single day, it's got to stop. I've never been a big fan of all that hazing stuff. I've always thought, as you know, every single guy on the team is just as important as the quarterback, as just as important as the head coach. You know, he's the guy that's going to be right next to you on the field trying to win the game and do the exact same thing you're doing. So with that whole deal, I've never been a big supporter of it. I can see why people do, just to feel maybe, you know, kind of a power trip, maybe just to prove a point, maybe to show something. But in terms of, you know, all that hazing and stuff, I've just never been a big fan.
Yeah.
As I've always thought, as you know, the last guy on the bench is going to be as good as you're going to be. You know, the last guy on the team is just as important as the first team and stuff like that. So it's sad that it's happened, and it's kind of continued throughout the country, whether it's at the NFL level, college level, or even high school. I mean, you hear things on the news, which is important, of high school teams doing stuff like that.
Yeah.
You just kind of wonder why. I mean, what does it bring out of all that stuff? Does it get you more wins? Obviously not. Does it make you play better? I doubt it. Does it bring your team closer? Maybe, but how close, and in a good way? So,
what are the consequences? Yeah. Yeah.
Exactly. And being a captain myself, I mean, I've always prided myself on making sure everybody's included in everything. No one's left out.
Right.
We're all one unit. No one's on their own. No one's being targeted, and stuff like that. So, mm-hmm. I mean, it's important to see, especially in NFL, with guys who are professionals, grown men, and they are not able to draw the line.
Right.
They're not able to really say, okay, this is enough. It's enough. This guy is obviously taking a hit. He's hurting. This needs to stop, and someone needs to reach out to him. So that's kind of my take with that. It's unfortunate that it's happened, but at the same time, you know, there's only so much each one of us can do to stop it.
Right. As somebody who played, you know, like you said, Division I basketball, as somebody who probably has a lot of friends at maybe a lot of different schools, or and guys who play maybe multiple sports as well, you know, along the way you cross paths, not necessarily just at Cal Poly. Are there any stories that people have told you about, like, things that have happened at the college, in the college ranks, you know, in
any
schools?
Not off the top of my head.
Yeah.
Not off the top of my head. I'm going to have to think about it. But with that being said, I guess that's a good thing that I don't have it for you. I mean, my perspective, not nothing that I know specifically. Right. If anything, it would be like maybe the new guy would bring donuts to a meeting. I don't know, something like that. But
right.
In terms of severity, where it impacted a player,
right.
Where it's taken a toll on their personal life, their social life, I've never heard of anything really come close, which is a good thing. But at the same time, you know, I don't know every single team player in the country that goes on. But,
yeah, I feel like that might happen more too, like in places, and I don't want to like paint California with a broad brush, because I'm sure it happens out here, but it doesn't seem like a real West Coast kind of a thing.
Right.
You know, that kind of intense, like hazing or whatever. excuse me, clear my throat. So it doesn't seem like it's something that happens very often out here, or you hear about stuff like this in California. It seems like whenever you hear about things like this, it's mostly in a place, and in the NFL, guys are from all over the place. I think Incognito was from Arizona and went to Nebraska. But it seems like something that maybe happens more often in kind of the Midwest or South. Would that be, I mean, I don't know, maybe that's something that I'm just thinking of off the top of my head, but,
it could. We don't have enough information of every single incident, but, usually you see it in more in, I guess, physical sports, maybe like football, basketball. I mean, it's hard to say in baseball and all those things, but
right.
Those guys, I mean, they're kind of wired to go out there and just beat the crap out of each other.
Yep.
I mean, they're going out in the gridiron and playing football, and you know, the only way to win is trying to out-tough your opponent. So I think that kind of rubs off, and maybe they feel it's okay that they can do, you know, things like that they choose to, because, hey, we're going out there, we're playing hard, we're sacrificing our bodies, so let us have some fun. But, I mean, in terms of where it happens, I'm sure it happens all over the place. Yeah. And it only can be documented so many times, and SportsCenter can only cover so many stories, you know, which is it's tough, because, you know, you don't know. But at the same time, it's a good thing that maybe it's not being reported, so maybe it really isn't happening.
Right.
So it's kind of both sides, and it's hard to tell.
Okay.
Being just a fan.
All right, so I had a few questions for you here before we before we let you go enjoy the rest of your Sunday, because Sundays are precious now.
absolutely.
You're from the Orange, you know, you're from the Orange County area. Who's your favorite basketball team growing up? Lakers.
Favorite basketball team? Seattle. I've been asked that. I can't tell you how many times, and I don't really have one. The Lakers have never really done anything to gain my attention yet. I know they had those championship runs, obviously, with Kobe and Shaq, but that was before I really got into understanding how to watch basketball, how to watch the game. Because, I mean, now the only difference is once you play under so many years at, you know, the college level, or say someone like Butch Clell, his coaching philosophies stick with you. When you're watching a game, it's like you're watching film again.
Kind of a weird thing,
but you don't watch it as a normal fan. So in the past, I mean, the Lakers haven't really, you know, gained my attention of some team to follow.
Man, I feel so old, Chris. You're talking about the Kobe and Shaq teams, and you're probably what, like 7 or 8 or 10 or something like that. And I was in college. You know, I was in college, so I assume everybody, you know, by then has a picture for that. But
yeah, it was a little while ago. I'm getting past that too. But now, in terms of favorite team, I'm just a sports guy. I could sit in front of a TV, and you could put any game on from. You could put on the Toronto Raptors versus the Pelicans, and I'll still watch it. I mean, it's just stuff like that. I don't really have a favorite sports team. Maybe a few players.
Yeah. So what? Yeah. What are a player or two that you really enjoy watching them play?
I liked watching Dwayne Wade before he started really getting hurt and really kind of slowing down. I think he was very explosive, very multi, you know, dimensional. He was really fun to watch for me growing up. I also like to watch. Chris Paul is fun to watch. I think just the way he kind of moves, I guess, shifty, change of speed. I mean, that's everything a young point guard should watch, is just watching how Chris Paul kind of, you know, commands the floor, how he runs the floor. And I also, who else is there? I like LeBron. I like LeBron James. I know some people don't, but I think when you have a guy with that size, that athleticism, skill, talent, I mean, you can go down the list, and he's playing. People really don't appreciate seeing him play every day. I think now, a lot of times I say, you know, I wish I could watch Michael Jordan in his prime, but I was too young.
You know, it was good. How do I put it? So I was born in like 81. So I watched Jordan, you know, dominate from the time I was about 10 to the time I was about 15 or something. And, 15, 16, I don't know, somewhere in there. But yeah, it was really good, and it was awesome and all that. But I think a lot like you with the Lakers of that time, you know, I was always like kind of anti, you know, when all my friends turned to Bulls fans during that time, I think I had the opposite reaction. I didn't want to be, you know,
part of the bandwagon and be like everybody else. Yeah.
And I was a Laker fan. I still am. And so, you know, I really wanted to stay there, and while Jordan was definitely, you know, amazing and probably the greatest player ever, you know, I think we have the unique opportunity to have like NBA TV, or, you know, you can see those hardwood classics games. Do you ever watch those and go, oh man, that was really cool. Like I want to play during that era when nobody played any defense.
I watch those hardwood classics all the time. Yeah. That's probably when I turn on my TV and I got that big old cable guy. That's the first channel I go to and see if there's a game playing from like 1996, 1994, just something that I would have missed
88.
Back when I was young. 88. Yeah, you can keep going.
Before you were born.
And older.
Yeah.
Older and older. The older the better. But just seeing kind of the styles of play compared to now, it's completely different. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you watch those games, you really respect how those guys play. They weren't the highest jumpers, you know, they weren't the fastest guys like some of the athletes now, but the way they moved the ball, the way they, you know, filled the right spots, take the right shots, it's really fun to watch those, you know, hardwood classics. I know a lot of people may look at it and be like, oh, this is old, poor picture, poor quality, oh, these guys aren't fast enough, dunking on each other. But, I mean, if you're really a good fan of basketball and you understand, you know, the X's and O's and what goes behind it, those kind of games really probably are the most interesting to me, just because I can learn more from them.
Yeah.
And kind of just apply it and kind of compare rather than seeing what the guys are doing every single day, which we all know, but just going back and seeing games in the past, I think it's pretty good. And it's a good learning tool. I mean, for a lot of upcoming players, I know a lot of new young players kind of watch like the guys now in the league and, you know, how to, you know, resemble their game, but they kind of stray away from basic fundamentals, you know, just the jump stops, using your body to create space, all those things that, you know, the guys back in that time, you know, that's all they had.
Bounce passes. That,
but yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
So I think it's just a good learning tool, and it's also fun to watch. I mean, if you get a good games like whether it's Jordan, Reggie Miller, Hakeem Olajuwon, all those, I mean, they're going to be good games to watch. And, you know, that's kind of the first channel I pull up when I pull up my TV.
Nice. What's your favorite other sport besides basketball? You said you're a sports guy and you like watching competition and so forth. What's your favorite other sport besides hoops?
If I had to choose, it'd probably be football, just because of the action. I'm really big on just kind of, you know, full on the whole game is go, go, go. I know a lot of people like baseball, just kind of relaxing, watching those games. But, I mean, I just can't sit there and wait for someone to bat, maybe get a hit every couple hits. Every couple of bats. But
that's your generation, though, right? I mean, I think people your age, and it's one of the reasons why baseball and how the game progresses over the next 10, 15, 20 years will be really interesting, is that I feel like more and more younger generations are kind of shying away from it because of the pace of the game and because they live in a kind of a culture or whatever that kind of gets things now and that you know has a very short attention span.
Right. Yeah. I mean, it feels like it's go, go, go. It's like if someone's not getting dunked on, if someone's not making a 90-yard touchdown, it's kind of like, okay, next game.
Red Zone Channel.
Where are the highlights? You know, and we kind of stray away of watching the whole game in general, and that's kind of where the difference is between someone who, you know, has never played maybe a sport, doesn't know what it takes behind all the preparation, and then just kind of the difference of just watching it on TV. And you know, I hope that changes where people really appreciate, you know, each sport and how much work goes behind it. But in terms of my favorite sport, I mean, obviously it's basketball, but I guess I can relate to football somewhat. I played 1 year in high school.
You did? Okay, that was going to be a question. So you played like as a freshman or something?
That was about it. I played a sophomore year. I played wide receiver. Uh-huh. And I did well, but it just, for me, it just wasn't the same as basketball. I mean, nothing could, you know, kind of overtake, you know, the passion I had for basketball. But it was fun to play with my friends in high school, just kind of get a different feel of a different competitive nature. But, you know, I'm always a big believer of trying something new. Yeah. And, you know, I kind of learned a lot from it, just kind of seeing what I like, what I don't like, the difference in sports, the difference in competing at a different level and all those things. But
bigger team, that's different number of players, all that. Yeah,
right, exactly. There's all kinds of different factors in sports, so that's always interesting to me. But basketball will always be number one.
Right on. Well, we hope to get some good basketball takes from you this basketball season, and Chris O'Brien is a coach's son, of course, and so and a former NCAA Cal Poly basketball player, so we'll definitely be excited to hear his takes throughout this basketball season. Chris, good job. Thanks a lot.
Absolutely.
Man. I appreciate it.
Thanks for having me.
We'll talk to you soon, and we'll look out for your posts up on Fansmanship.
Okay, looking forward to it. Thanks, Owen.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Fansmanship Podcast. For more podcasts and more in-depth sports discussion, go to fansmanship.com.
Well, I've been stuck on down in Trouble Town. It's a lonely place, it's true. Street lights so bright, they blind my vision. And the people on the streets, they beat me up till I'm black and blue. Front page of the